Hello, everyone. My name is Sylvia White. I am your host of Women, Faith, and Business. And I am so excited today to have you guys join us this morning on our podcast. And today we are going to be talking about, we're going to be talking with Atika Watkins. And she is with Professionals Accounting and Services. And we're going to be talking about her journey, her walk, of faith in her business and how that looked and over the years and how many years you've been in business with Atika and everything like that. And then we are just going to now go turn it over to her and let her introduce herself and where she's from, that beautiful city of Detroit.
Hey, everybody. First of all, thank you, Sylvia, for having me to be a part of this awesome occasion. I wouldn't consider myself a speaker, but I'm always blessed when someone asks me to speak because I definitely have something to say. I do love God. Let me start there. He does head my life, and he has pulled out of me what is this thing called entrepreneurship. I've been an entrepreneur for about 4 strong years, coming out of corporate America. I think right around 2016, I own a company called Professional Bookkeepers where we manage the books for 5, 6, and 7 figure earners. And really that's simply because they've come to a place where they need to have infrastructure in their business. So usually when people connect with me, they are connecting with me because they are at that place that they need to bring some order to their disorder.
Well, I think we know that bookkeeping or accounting is one of the areas that people try to keep to themselves. You know, that, you know, when they start their business, oh, I could just go on QuickBooks. And tell me, like, what is the nah, you shouldn't do that kind of reasons, you know, negative reasons why you shouldn't do that.
Why you do bookkeeping?
Why you personally as a owner of the business should not be the person actually doing the bookkeeping.
So there are 2 schools of thought for me. When you're just starting a business, you have a number of things that you're doing. You have a number of things that you are tasked with doing, whether you know it or not. And so I do believe that in the very infantile stages of your business, you can absolutely do the bookkeeping. What hinders most entrepreneurs as they're growing is the fact that they cannot keep up with the bookkeeping. It is something that goes underserved or they're just not committed to it, you know, every day as they grow their business. So as your business is growing, you definitely do want to begin to look for someone professional to help you to continue your daily financial routine because your business has a financial routine as well. So you can do it when you're starting, but as you see that you're losing sight of, you know, your everyday financial tasks, that becomes a burden and responsibility. It can hinder you really bad. You can, you know, especially in the area of compliance. Most entrepreneurs that I come in contact with are not compliant. They're not compliant with their state. They're not compliant with their local agencies. They're definitely, you know, not compliant with the Internal Revenue Service. And so, and that lack of compliance generally has happened because they've been gone into the daily grind of operating and foregoing that back office financial piece of their business. And so you can do it, but when you grow, you need to hand it over.
So would you say, how would you say that, you know, not having that piece, you know, in order, does it many times is the decision factor of a business failing or being successful?
So there are a couple reasons why businesses fail. Lack of resources, inability to, you know, acquire funding, not having adequate, sufficient help. Those are real strong reasons, lack of strategy, that businesses do fail. But the culmination of all that is the effect of money, right? So if they're not doing the things that they need to do in their business every single day, on top of doing that financial task, undoubtedly they're going to run into some issues with, you know, compliance. And that's reporting. That could be reporting on anything, reporting on the number of employees you have, reporting, you know, monthly sales. If you, if you meet certain thresholds of sales revenue in a month or in a quarter or in a year, you know, and just with, you know, not having a strategy or a daily regime. See, when you work in corporate, many of us have come out of corporate as being technicians in our business. When you come from corporate, you have more of a structure that you walk into. That foundation has already been laid for you. When you're building a business, you are creating that culture. You're creating that infrastructure. It's just a lot of times entrepreneurs, they're in the throes of it, that they miss a lot of those key things that they need to do. And so if you can get it, if you can build a team, and some of those teams don't have to always be, you know, fully paid. It could be part-time. It can be, sometimes it can be volunteer for nonprofit startup grassroots organizations. A lot of it's volunteer, but you got to begin to have some form of structure and strategy.
And I know that there's, I've had a nonprofit and now I have a for-profit, and, people tend to think that when you have a nonprofit, this was my mindset, you know, you don't have to pay a lot of attention to all the, you know, the financial, you got to know what money coming in, or you think of it as a nonprofit. Okay, no, well, you know, you don't have the same business mindset. And that is why, like, I think, I don't remember what the statistics is about the success of nonprofits, but I know a lot of them never really get off the ground after the initial, you know, getting the nonprofit status. Like, that many times doesn't go anywhere after that, or it doesn't last very long after that.
Yeah, I think starting a nonprofit is probably, it's the easier in terms of rallying people around your mission or that cause. People will work, people will donate, people will give if they believe in your message. But the start of a business and a nonprofit are one and the same. And actually, I think nonprofits are a little bit more dangerous because you have a responsibility to the public. Once you start a public charity or, you know, some type of nonprofit, it no longer belongs to you. It belongs to the public. So it's greater responsibility on those types of organizations to, you know, have more of the structure and the infrastructure, because you do have to report. You know.
I like what you said about the nonprofit doesn't belong to the person that started. It didn't belong to the founder. And I think a lot of times people don't get that part. What do you mean? I was the one who started, but it doesn't, it belongs to the people.
Exactly. And it belongs to the people. And you that's have a burden and responsibility to, you know, report what you're doing, to the public. You can go out on the internet to the Internal Revenue Service website right now and see all of the, you know, nonprofits that are no longer operating. They may be operating physically, but, you know, they've been revoked by the Internal Revenue Service. And then you can find those ones that are, you know, they're compliant. They meet their compliance requirement. You know, they're reporting their informational returns, and that type of thing. So you have to start. And you have to create structure in your business or in your nonprofit if you want for it to be a success.
Now, a lot of people start nonprofits after they've started, you know, they have their business and then they start a nonprofit. A lot of the thought process is, well, I'll just feed this for-profit money in through, you know, through the almost like money laundering thought through the nonprofit, and we good, you know. What's the, is that a legal thought process, or is that a questionable thought process?
It's definitely a matter of conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. Nonprofit organizations have boards. Mm-hmm. Healthy boards are about 12 people. Mm-hmm. So when you have a governance, a body, mm-hmm. that, you know, is concerned about the health, overall health of the entity itself, in the direction that the organization is going in, and that could, it could be any number of people, it could be any type of people on this board. Mm-hmm. They also have the responsibility of making sure that there isn't a conflict of interest, not just for the people that are on the board, because mm-hmm. they have their own organizations in most cases too, mm-hmm. but also for, you know, the founder, and making sure that there's a layer of, or at least open awareness of what could be considered, you know, a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. And as the board grows and handles more money, mm-hmm. And then, you know, is part of audits where, you know, there's a review of that financial, you know, mm-hmm. institution, then, you know, that's where it comes out, you know, in those reports. Oftentimes, some of those transactions that are too closely related, mm-hmm. That don't make sense, and that can be considered commingling or just too close. It's a conflict.
Right.
Yeah. But that's a mindset thing. I think we need to really, really get out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about, so let's turn the corner a little bit. Let's talk about, because money is one of those things. Finances is one of those things that I heard someone say this: finances will tell you exactly who a person is, mm-hmm. how they handle their finances, and how they handle their bills. But let's talk biblically about, mm-hmm. you know, the Bible tells us to be a good steward. Mm-hmm. And not only in our finances, we need to be a good steward in everything that we do. If we work on a job, we need to be a good steward when we go to the job, to do the job in excellence unto the Lord, you know. And so, but many times when we say being a good steward, everybody's mind automatically goes to finances. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about how when you're dealing with companies, and when you've been in the corporate world, and you see that there's not, you know, integrity, mm-hmm. in the finances, but here you are the person who is over these finances. How has that ever been a challenge to you in what you knew, what was the right thing to do, and then what somebody else is deciding, but is not necessarily the right thing to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that most businesses start in a bubble. You know, it started at someone's kitchen table one morning. Mm-hmm. Woman decides, you know what? Yep, I'm leaving. Today is the day I'm not going into my job. Mm-hmm. Then they start thinking about, well, who's going to help me? Who can I call? You know, mm-hmm. their mother, their best good girlfriend, closest cousin that acts like a sister to them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe their husband or their boyfriend. The scenarios can play out. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about being or lacking integrity. They're not thinking about the things that they're doing that could present themselves as being a person of, you know, who doesn't have integrity. Mm-hmm. They're just starting a business. They're just operating. So there are a lot of things in the area of finance that it just started like that.
Right.
You know, your daughter comes, the perfect scenario could be your daughter comes to, you know, whoever your accountant is, and, you know, says that, you know, she wants a couple $1,000. Mm-hmm. Does your accountant give them the money? Does she write the check? Mm-hmm. Because on the strength of the fact that that's your daughter, Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, you got to begin to question the things that you're doing, you know, inside of the business, and not just ultimately what you're doing in the moment, but ultimately the effect and the impact of it. Money has an effect. Money has an impact. So I don't think people start businesses to be dishonest. And I don't think people do things to, you know, that border fraud or anything like that. I think they just don't know.
Right.
And so that's my answer for that. But when you work with people, when I work with people, I am literally helping them to see where there should be a divide mm-hmm. in certain things, where there should be what we call a segregation of duties, a certain level of responsibilities that just require a little bit of governance, mm-hmm. you know, and really should just stop here. There's a cap at what this person can do. There's a cap at what this person can do. Or if you've provided latitude to someone, maybe you're at the place where you have management in your business or what have you, then the question becomes, you know, what authority do they have? Like, what are their approval levels of certain things? So I don't think people just start businesses to be dishonest.
Right.
I just think that by nature of the beast, they kind of, you know, it's just all together.
Yeah.
You know.
He's definitely mixed up in the money category. So when you come across, I know, like for me, it's uh-huh. been, it's sometimes I'm looking at people going like, you know what my standard is, right? So why would you ask me that? You know, or when it comes to you having to deal with that kind of situation and somebody still wants to not do it the right way, mm-hmm. how does that challenge you in your role that you're supposed to be the advisor or the counselor, you know, the financial person in their business, advising them, and yet they still want to do it the wrong way?
So, I mean, people and businesses are just simply sometimes are not a good fit. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that don't want to, they say they want to do it right, but doing it right takes them 100% out of their element mm-hmm. to do it right. Mm-hmm. And so in those cases, and I haven't had very many, because most people ultimately want to earn
right.
you know, money in their business, and they want to do it right, and they want to leave their 9-to-5, and they uh-huh. you know, they want to have financial freedom. Uh-huh. I think that's been pretty much everyone that I've met. But in those cases where I have worked with people who are not interested necessarily in, they're interested in a short-term fix and not a long-term fix, uh-huh. we just can't work together. Because foundationally, I feel, this is where I feel purposed in, that my responsibility is to make sure that there is integrity in the numbers. Mm-hmm. That when information is presented to a chief executive officer, mm-hmm. in that frame of time, they're able to make informed decisions. Mm-hmm. You cannot make informed decisions with misinformation.
Right.
You can't decide to buy a fleet of trucks. You can't decide to, you know, acquire a loan. You can't decide to fire someone when you don't have the right information. So at the point that an entrepreneur is looking for a short-term solution and fix, we probably won't do business together. Not that they're not good people. Not that they don't have a good business. Mm-hmm. It's just that having financial infrastructure is a long-term solution. Mm-hmm. It is the brain to your business, right? It is what gives you that longevity, that generational wealth that people oftentimes talk about. Mm-hmm. And yes, it comes with a number of things that most people don't want to do. They don't want to pay taxes, but they don't have a strategy to not pay taxes.
Right.
You know? So you want to pay taxes as long as you don't have a strategy to not pay taxes.
Yeah.
These are things that just come with it. So short answer, when I run into an entrepreneur or business owner, no matter what their formation is, and they're looking for a quick fix, I'm not that person. I am a person who has been graced to steward money.
Uh-huh. Well, I love how you said there's integrity in the numbers. I absolutely love that statement. And I also, because many times people don't want to walk, you know, when you're an entrepreneur too, you know, you want to make money. And sometimes we get in bed with the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And we don't get the understanding that that reflects your business as well. Mm-hmm. When you get in bed with the wrong people. And I just remember, I'm telling you, and that's where, I don't know if you feel this, but where the importance of having the Holy Spirit to direct you and to really, you know, really listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because many times we don't know people don't have the right intention. But he knows ahead of time. So that's grateful, you know, like he is, and he will lead you and guide you away from things as he will to them. Mm-hmm. So one of the incidents that I came across was, you know, I didn't want to have a whole full office myself, but I knew because I do events that I probably need to be out in an office. And where I live far away from, like 30 minutes from the city, and, you know, kind of got to meet people. And so I was like, I want to just be inside somebody's office. I don't want to have a whole building myself or whatever. The first person I went to, I was like, oh yeah, I was so excited. It was a good deal. And then something kept saying, no, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. And I was like, oh, but it's the right price. And all these things, 15 days in, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my goodness, I gotta get out of this. I gotta get out of this. And I did quickly. And then I ended up somewhere else, which is perfect. But a lot of times we just want to do what we want to do, and we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And that's very important thing that we do. So let's talk about, so you are married.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I'm married.
How has the dynamics of, because, you know, family is important to God. Mm-hmm. It's number one thing with him. That's the first relationship that, you know, he established. And a lot of times as women, we want to, you know, fully concentrate on this. And then our family's sitting over here and, you know, I got to run this business. Y'all don't understand, kind of thing. So how did you transitioning from the corporate world? Because we know that was a huge decision, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And how did your family look at you when you said, I'm going to be leaving the corporate world or something? Tell me about that transition from the corporate world into your own business and how important it was to for your family to do this transition with you.
So let's go back to corporate, right? Mm-hmm. One of my strong gifts of God is discernment. Mm-hmm. And about maybe a year into my corporate position at a minority-owned, woman-owned firm, mm-hmm. I was feeling very, very unsettled. And the unsettling was very, very strong. I just was not striving well with I report directly to owners. So mm-hmm. that was who I had to report. And there was always this strife mm-hmm. in communication for me that wasn't there before. And so the first thing I did was I prayed about it. I wanted to know, was there, you know, anything that was wrong, you know, with this particular owner that maybe I could bring answer to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get an answer. Mm. But there was a lot of usury in the role that I had. People will use you for information.
Right.
In corporate. And I guess it's okay because you're paid a salary. Mm-hmm. But then there comes a time when you know that someone is flat out using your gift and your ability. Mm-hmm. And that's what it had come to for me. And so that was the culmination of me leaving. When I felt that feeling of being unsettled is when I decided a strategic plan to leave. Mm-hmm. And I literally began to financially save because I knew that I was going to be leaving mm-hmm. that job.
Stop and right there for a minute. Mm-hmm. You said strategic plan. Love mm-hmm. that. Many people want to just up and leave their job. I got this business. I want to just do it full time. I just want to leave. And they don't do that two word right there, strategically plan. So what did your strategic plan look like?
My strategic plan looked like paying down all of my debt.
Okay.
All of my debt. It also looked like saving. I mean, madly saving mm-hmm. So that I could have a nest egg because I didn't know what the next thing was going to be. I honestly was thinking, I'll just get another job. Mm-hmm. But as that unsettled feeling began to grow and grow and grow while there, I really began to hear God say, you know, that it was time for me to, you know, move into entrepreneurship. And I was scared about it because, you know, I know of a lot of accountants. I don't know of a lot of accountants that want to own their own business. Mm-hmm. Being an accountant to someone is completely different than owning a business. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that looked like for me, and I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't know how to put it together. And so I just began to stay prayerful about it because yeah. I wanted to do it right. I didn't want to fall on my face, but my first strategy was a strategic plan financially, paying off all of my debt and creating a nest egg for myself that would allow me to not be a burden to my husband financially because I still wanted to get things done. I still wanted to get my hair done, my nails done. You know,
things that we girls need to have done.
You know, you got to have that, you know. I still wanted to, you know, have my own income. I didn't know it in the beginning that it would be a leap to entrepreneurship. But toward the end, I knew strongly that, oh, okay, this is where we're going. But I had something to leave with. So if you're thinking about leaving a job, that definitely needs to be a part of the equation. Mm-hmm. And during that stretch of time, I didn't care what I didn't have. I didn't care about the clothes I couldn't buy. I was like a mad person paying stuff, a mad person saving stuff so that I could leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So you got the plan together and... Now you got to have this conversation with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
What does that sound like?
You know, my husband is probably one of the most supportive people that I've ever met. And so when I went to him about it and to let him know, number one, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be coming home angry every day. Oh. I'm not going to be coming home frustrated every day. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have to decompress for a whole 2 hours because I'm in a headspace that's through the roof and everybody else around me is like, oh, go in the room or not. You know, I wasn't going to be that person. Mm-hmm. And so when I talked to him about it, you know, obviously he asked me, had I been prayerful about it? And I shared with him that I had been prayerful about it. And then when I told him that, you know, I felt like God was leading me to, you know, entrepreneurship. He just said that, you know, whichever way I went, if I wanted to go to another, you know, job, he would be in support of that. If I wanted to do, you know, entrepreneurship, he would be in support of that. And so he was very, very understanding. My kid didn't care.
Just like, what?
As long as we didn't stop giving to her, everything was great in the world.
Well, that's good because, see, you didn't just go to him. You had a plan when you went to him. And you could probably say, well, I've already started, you know, saving. I have this much in savings. We'll be, you know, because men, you know, they are the heads of our household, but we're supposed to be their helpmeet. And just walking off of a job without any plan, we're mm-hmm. not helping them. We're not being a help me to them. We're actually being a hindrance, you know, a hinder to them, because now they got to think like, okay, she used to do this, now I can do all this. Oh my gosh, my income is, I'm not going to have anything left, you know, that kind of stuff. Because, and many, many, unfortunately, many women do that, and then they end up with a business, but not a marriage, you know.
But see, I think that speaks to not being a good steward.
There you go.
You know, because I steward my marriage too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband has created a life for us to live in, but he didn't create that extra mess.
Yeah.
You know, like extra stuff. So I felt obligated that, you know, to not burden him with that extra stuff. There is something that I can do to make this an easy process, you know. So stewardship. And that's where I, discernment and stewardship are two areas where I'm strongest in.
And that's paramount for not for your business to be successful. You can't have a jacked up marriage, a jacked up family, mm-hmm. and say God is telling you to do something, because he doesn't operate like that.
Right.
You know, right. He just doesn't. And you know, I know it's like, but you don't understand my husband. It doesn't matter. That's not how God operates. And I love the fact that you said that you prayed about it and you prayed about it. You really heard from God. And you didn't, just because you prayed about it on Monday, you didn't walk in the office on Friday and say, I resign. You allow God to show you what to do. What is the strategic plan he had for you? And you allowed him to do that. And I love it how you did it. And you know it's God, because it's in order. You know, mm-hmm. you prayed, you spoke to your husband. You hadn't gone to tell them that you quit yet. Now, you know how sometimes we go tell them afterwards, after we do something, we go, well, yeah, you know, by the way, my last day is in 2 weeks. So, you know, you didn't do that. Yeah. You did it in order. You discussed it with him first. Because many times, because they are the head of the house and the blessings mm-hmm. come through them, God would show them something that he hadn't even showed you. And he could have had some input, some wisdom that God has showed him about it. And if you had just gone ahead and quit your job before that moment, you know, you would have missed out on a huge blessing. You could miss out on huge blessings doing that. So you did it in order. You discussed it, you know, kids don't care much unless, you know, as long as they get taken care of, but they get their needs and they want taken care of. But and so you do this. And what was that conversation like when you went to your boss to tell them?
So that was the hard part. I think that was the hardest part, because the relationship for that whole year had been an uneasy one. Mm-hmm. It had been, but she made it easy for me because she continued to not listen. Mm-hmm. You know, to anything that I was saying. And so the culmination of it ended up being where, then this might be too much, but where she ended up bringing in another business that needed my help, mm-hmm. who had more or less denied getting help from me, that we were in relationship with, mm-hmm. One of our external factors. And when she brought that company in, who had totally dismissed anything that I had brought to them about the defect in their system that was costing us money. Mm-hmm. When she brought that young lady in, mm-hmm. that was my sign. Mm. That was my sign that it's time to go. And so the conversation was brief. It was short. It was respectful. But it, when she brought the young lady in, that was my sign, mm-hmm. that it's time to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes
we miss those subtle things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or we'll push it underneath the table. And sometimes we stay somewhere too long, you know. Mm-hmm. And God is trying to show us, hey, I need you to move. I can't bless you if you don't move. You got to leave it behind. And So one of my experiences was that I was in the industry for over 30 something years. I was in the childcare industry and I loved it for the most part, but it had been the hardest 30 something years. And I would just keep going back to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was in it and God told me that I was only to work for this company for a year. He told me that, but I didn't prepare. I did not do the strategic plan and I did not prepare, which mm-hmm. kept me there longer. And he kept saying, you gotta, you know, it's time to leave. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen. When I'm telling you, when God says it's time to leave, you guys need to leave. But mm-hmm. it gotta be him telling you now. Don't be like, you know, like your feelings and emotions get in the way. And, This is like, it was an event after an event, after bad events. And in 3 weeks time, I'm telling you guys, no lie, in 3 weeks time, the most horrific things that never has happened in my whole career of 30 years, ever had I experienced. It was like three whirlwinds back to back. And I was put on administrative leave. Now, none of these whirlwinds, they were all crazy outside factors. Nothing I could have prevented. Nothing I could have even do myself. But there was, that's how I knew it. I knew it was because of my disobedience. And I was put on administrative leave. And then I was fired. 3 days later, I was fired. But God loves his children. He just loves us. And even in the midst of that, his mercy and grace showed forth. Cause I was fired. What that means, I had money in savings. I was saving, but not like I should have been saving. He showed me grace and he showed me mercy. And I know it was him who showed me grace and mercy. And I was able to get, they allotted me unemployment. Usually that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. They said, file for it. We're not going to fight it. Blah, blah, blah. So I got unemployment for a year and a half. During that year and a half, I still tried to go back into that industry. So disobedient. But I realized when God shut every door to it, he shut every door for it. Because it's not like I was well qualified for every position I went to interview for. And he shut the doors completely. He wouldn't even let, can you imagine? Filling out over 100 and something applications, mm-hmm. and never hearing back from anybody.
Wow. Yeah.
I said, okay, God, what is it that you want? Because obviously there's something. And that's how I ended up really going full-fledged into doing events. And not even a place that, you know, my girlfriend was like, are you sure you want to do that? I said, well, it's something that I've done before, but not to this level. But is it so important that, tell me about a moment like that in your life where you really didn't listen to God. You know, you knew he was talking, but you really didn't, you know, you can't, you know, you were disobedient.
So I don't make a habit of being disobedient. Honestly.
Right.
I do my best. I think I need to work on trust more, because I continue to go back and ask the same question, mm-hmm. rather than trust the answer that God has given. Mm-hmm. And just growing. And I think the more that we pray, mm-hmm. and ask God for direction,
right,
on what to do, how to do, what to say, mm-hmm. who to say it to. Mm-hmm. Should I go left? Should I go right? You know, before asking the mother who's going to have your back, your husband, mm-hmm. you know, your friend, mm-hmm. what do you think I should do? What is my next move? Mm-hmm. And not doing anything until you feel peace in your spirit about proceeding and moving forward. And no, and I'm here to tell you, that's gonna affect everybody in your circle, because some things that God has you to do will look crazy.
Real crazy.
I didn't just walk off of a job. I walked off of a high paying job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when your friends and your family, you know, haven't ever earned, you know, that amount of money, they definitely think you need to go talk to somebody. They definitely think you need to get your head checked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But just knowing in your, in the depths of your soul that I prayed and I've asked God, mm-hmm. and I'm walking in what he has told me and being bold about it.
Right.
And will it be popular? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But the peace that's going to come behind the decision that you make because you prayed and asked God, mm-hmm. will be the benefactor.
Right.
Because you'll know that you know that you know that I asked. So if I got to look crazy, then I'm going to look crazy for God. I'm not going to look crazy because it just looks good to, you know, be a power couple, you know, and have a job. And I'm dying every single day mm-hmm. on the job. I'm reporting to an owner that doesn't want to listen to anything that I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, financially.
Right.
And then when you want to listen because the vice president of another organization, I had $30 million in my purview. Mm. That's what I managed. And that ain't a lot of money. That's small business.
Right.
You know, and the only time you wanted to listen now is when there's a rippling effect of other businesses that are now having the same issue that yeah. you didn't have to spend this amount of money for mm-hmm. 365 days ago. I'm done talking. I prayed.
Right, right.
I prayed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not about to consult with you for free.
Right, exactly.
So I think also knowing our worth is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that was the struggle for me coming out of corporate, going into entrepreneurship and knowing how to value what I have and knowing how to value, you know, what I mean to a company
mm-hmm.
Because you've been rejected, you know, previously or, you know, gone through those different deferring things, you know, from one place to another. We have got to learn how to value, you know, ourselves. So I came into entrepreneurship undercharging, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, like
just trying to make it, you know. Would you please, you know, consider me, mm-hmm. you know. And that was the wrong thing to do, but it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that some things that happen to us in our entrepreneurial journey, they happen sometimes because we didn't pray. They happen sometimes because we lack the faith to believe.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't trust God. But some things come because they're necessary. They're for your making. They're for the building of your character. They come to affirm that which is in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, yeah.
I love that because I think sometimes, you know, it, you know, the Bible says it's in our weaknesses that he is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, when we're doing entrepreneurship or when we're working for a company, either way, we gotta really know who God is. We mm-hmm. really have to know who he is, and we have to follow his direction. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truths. And sometimes we don't want to be led, or we're not in the status quo. Well, God, that's not the status quo. That's not what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. And you want to, but he said he's not going to be doing what everybody else is doing. If he's doing what everybody else is doing, then how is he God, you know? And so it's in our, when we're having a God-led business, that's what it's got to be, God-led. And we have to do things the way he says to do them, not the way the world says to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of hard sometimes when everybody around you is saying something totally different. Mm-hmm. So events is one of those things that can really be, if you're not careful, you'll give into that status quo. So I'm in this mentor group, and the person that runs the mentor group, I've known her for years and like this, but, and so she knows me too. And she knows that I am a faith woman. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the whole 100% of what the Bible says. And, and I knew that the Lord was leading me to be more engaged with women and businesses that are Christ-based. To move my event, the event, he told me that. That's why it was named Rock Solid Corporate Events, because it's supposed to be built on the rock of Jesus Christ. And so when she was, it's about eight women in this group, and when she said something to me, I said, what? You know, she's like, well, you don't need to work with women, you know, with, you know, Christians, because they don't have no money, you're not going to get paid, you know, you need to talk to these people who are high, you know, up there, you don't need to talk about Jesus too much, because if you do that, you're going to short, shy people away. I'm like, are you crazy? It's like, do you know what the Bible says? If I do that, he's going to be ashamed of me, if I'm going to be ashamed of him. And so everything she was saying was what the world says. That's the way they do business. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and God was like, well, what are you going to do? And you know how he doesn't make us make that choice? Mm-hmm. He puts mm-hmm. that choice, in, those choices in front of us, and he wants to know, what are we going to do? And so she wanted me to do, they wanted me to do at the same, they wanted me to do this summit. It was a leadership summit, and it had all the women that was in this group on that summit. I could not do it. I made a flyer. I felt like I was going to literally throw up doing this. I was like, I cannot do this. So I came back the next Sunday and said, I cannot do it. The minute I said, I cannot do it, this, the Lord gave me this summit. Wow. Women, Faith, and Business. And I was like, he's like, if you choose me, I will lead you. I will guide you. And I'm telling you, the conversations, the, and every time when we would get on the phone, she's like, I'm telling you, there's no money in it. The Lord would show me, I've been researching, and he was showing me all these amazing men and women who have put in places of leadership over corporations, over business, that are believers, not just believers. They walk in the things of God. Mm-hmm. And so if I had kept listening to her, I would have just been flapping in the water. You know, like a fish without out of water. Mm-hmm. But it's very important, like you were saying, that we really hear God, that we really follow how he does things, because it's not going to look like what everybody else says. And it's despite the naysayers. So you talked about the naysayers, and especially when it's families, because they don't know how to stop.
That's your biggest nemesis is your family.
Well, they don't know how to stop either. So like, you still doing that little thing on the side? You know what? This little thing is taking care of me and my husband and whatever our, you know, aspirations are. And you talk about this little thing, but they'll do that. They'll say those kinds of things like that. Oh, you still working for yourself? Well, yeah. You know, how hard is that? As a, you know, you already have your own things that you got to deal with personally, and then you have your family who is,
you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, be ye transformed, mm-hmm. you know, by the renewing of your mind, mm-hmm. that we are not a part of this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. I would be crazy to say that those little digs, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not even so much as the dig, it's the adjective to describe the dig, the little business. Why can't it just be the business?
Yes.
Why can't you just say, you know, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, why does it have to be that air of shade in there? Mm-hmm. But be transform your mind. You know, people, you really have to honestly And this will probably be the hardest part, mm-hmm. is overcoming the things that you even think about yourself, the things that the people on the outside mm-hmm. think about you, and taking that into your spirit, nice. to make you believe that, well, it's just little, you know, little is much in the sight of God.
Yeah.
To whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so when you think about the word of God and those things in terms of how God can come in and make something so small big, mm-hmm. you know, we have to renew our mind. We have to be forever renewing our mind. We have to be forever rejecting the thoughts and the little sayings and the little digs and the shade that people oftentimes project on us, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes people's projections on us is what they even feel about themselves. But you are forever affirming yourself in the word of God, and just keeping in your mind the word of God, mm-hmm. Because if God is in it, it don't even matter. If God is actually in a thing, it does not matter. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you don't know if the little thing that you're creating, you don't know what one person needs it.
Right, right, right.
See, that's the difference about having a God-led organization, one where you consult God about it. Mm-hmm. I may not say Jesus every day, but I definitely consult God about my business. Mm-hmm. Every single day. Mm-hmm. When you are the person in that space, mm-hmm. it's so much greater than you.
Yeah.
'Cause then you're not even talking about the operational things. You're talking about soul work. Right. You're talking about reaching someone, mm-hmm. someone that could be suicide. I talk to people that, yeah, they may make 5, 6, and 7 figures, but mm-hmm. some of these people are losing homes, they're losing cars, they're losing their social economic status, trying to keep this thing going.
Right.
You know, you don't know who you're going to reach by having your business. So turning, you know, rejecting thoughts or things that people say to you, it's an everyday task, but it's one that you have to do. And you have to then flood your mind with what does God say? Because that's what's more important.
Well, I love that you say, because I there's a term out there called Market Street Ministry. I'm not quite sure how biblical it is. I'm not sure, but because, you know, the Bible tells us to go into all the world. So that's everybody. But I have found, and I don't know if you found this, that it is amazing to me how, when you go talk to somebody, it might be interviewing them for becoming one of your clients, or they are one of your clients and you just have them in your meeting with them that day. But it's like you've been praying that day and you know something's going to happen different for that day, or you really going to have to share the word of God that day. And then you say, wow, this is why God has me doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. This is why, you know, He wanted me in this space for this person today. Because then you think, but shoot, what if I didn't do this? This person, you know, I would have been out of God's will, and now he had to find somebody else to do what he had purposed for me to do. You know, you kind of think along those crazy lines, but you know, you understand, it's that moment that you understood that what God had called you to do in your entrepreneurship journey was really to bless those that may not ever go to a church. They may not ever listen to a Christian radio station. They may not ever talk to a pastor. But because you are an accountant or a bookkeeper, they talk to you. Mm-hmm. So what is one of those moments that you had when they sat in the front of your chair or you're on the phone with them and you knew my business hat has to go to the side right now. I need to minister to this person.
So that's pretty much all the time.
No, I feel you.
That's pretty much all of the time. And I think that part of it was what I wasn't prepared for. That if there's any part of, you know, I can do accounting in my sleep. You know, I understand technology like the back of my hand. But talking to people about things that are now emotionally embedded in them, that is something different. My very first assignment that I was able to secure was a referral. And the one thing that I always said is that I wish I had met her sooner. I wish that I had met her before the $100,000 investment. Because I would have told her no. I would have looked at the plan that she had. She bought into a franchise and became a franchisee, thinking, okay, well, I can't put together the structure, but I'll buy into something that should have the structure. But she hadn't looked at the legal agreement. She hadn't, you know, read the accounting language in terms of, you know, paying and what she would be paying for and the frequency of that stuff. By the time I came into her life, she was literally emotionally spent. I mean, she was literally just fighting to keep a smile on her face. Every single dime that she had now went into, you know, pumping life into a business that if I hadn't met her before, it was dead before she started. And so just being, and it's important, and I know we've said this, and it's probably like cliche at this point, but if I hadn't have been prayed up the day I walked into her establishment before going completely virtual and watching her break down after dropping off her two kids to private school, if I hadn't have been prayed up, I wouldn't have had the word to give to her. See, there's a due season word. There's a word that you can give, but then there's a word that you can give in the right season. One that comes to strengthen you, one that comes to encourage you, one that comes to, you know, mend fences, if you will. And that's what she needed in that moment. She needed to know that she was in a safe space, that she was not a failure, though her business was failing, that just because she was losing her business, and she was losing her business at the threat of even losing her home, you know, because she had, you know, this was her life savings. But I wish that she had of just talked to people, you know, talked to an attorney to have them to look over that legal document to make sure that she understood the extent of what she was getting into, buying into someone else's vision, that was a scam. And then, you know, just because you're a business person or even a business major or even have worked in the business sector doesn't mean you know all things business. And accounting was one of those things, I mean, that she wasn't good in. So walking into the office that day, and she was literally on the floor, you know, crying her eyes out, because it's like, you know, how do I face people? You know, how do I lock up this business and go out of business? You know, that doesn't feel good and it doesn't look good, you know, and people always have something to say, ask them or not.
Yes, most definitely.
You know, and so just having the words to give to someone in a due season, I think has been probably my growth factor in being a faith-based entrepreneur.
That yeah. Oh my goodness, I cannot even imagine having you know, having to deal with things on that level without Christ. Because you're right. If you say the wrong word at the wrong time, that could like really break her even more, you know? And it is very important that we, you know, we govern, you know, we're a good steward of our mouth too, you know, what we say and when we say it. And you talked about your own inner fight of thinking, you know, your worthiness. And I know, and let me preempt this because I'm not that kind of the one. I know there's a lot of about me, it's about me, and it's about me and your self-worth. And I know there's a lot of that in the world. The world talks about it like 100% seven. You can't go on no social media without them saying, what is your worth? And what is your, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, what's your identity? You know, who are you? But as believers in Christ, that looks different for us because our identity is in Christ. Our worthiness is because of Christ. And so it's not to negate the fact that we are not, well, as sinners, we're not worthy of anything, but as we are in Christ, we are worthy, and he has given us a gift and an ability that is not to be prostituted, to say the lack of a better word, that to be the cheapest one on the block. You're a Christian, and so why are you charging so much? Well, why are you charging like they charging? Not only as Christians, but, you know, we're Black women too, and we're women. We're Black women and a Christian, so we have like three things mm-hmm. there. So many times, come on, Ms. Watkins, can you give me a, you know, give me a discount? No, can you come down to this? It doesn't feel like you're always, I mean, negotiation is always happening. And I don't think it matters at any number. I don't think any business person who does business does not try to get a deal. So let's put that out there. I don't care what color you are, what the color of your skin is, male or female. You're always in negotiation when you're in business because you're in business to make money. Everybody who has a business objective is to make money. That's one of their objectives, a main objectives. One of their main goals is to top three to make money. Right. So we're always in negotiation. However, you talked about like you was charging pennies basically due to what you were feeling like you were demeaning your own worth and talent and your gift and talent and ability that God has given you. Talk about how you transitioned from that to say, nope, this is what it costs and that's it kind of thing.
So there are a couple of things. The first thing is going back to that strategy. So I had a plan and a strategy to leave, but I hadn't thought anything about the entrepreneurship part or, you know, like, so, you know, what's that price point? And so then what happens is you reduce yourself to, you know, being market rate or whatever the going rate is in a certain area, you know, and even positioning yourself to be competitive, you know, strategically competitive with whoever, whatever neighboring businesses are around. I think that when you're, if you're thinking about entrepreneurship and if you're thinking about how to price yourself, you have to consider time. You have to consider if you actually manufacture or produce a product. Those are things that have to be monetized. Really, really mapping out, if you're a service provider, the full service and how long it actually takes, that whole journey, how long does it actually take to satisfy a customer in the service that you're providing? And when it comes down even to, you know, producing a product, mm-hmm. from, you know, to the product that's in that individual's hand, how much does that cost you as the person selling it? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we do that. I don't think that we take the time to really map out the time,
right.
and then the actual unit cost. Now, obviously, economies of scale will come into play if you're right. selling at mass volume. Mm-hmm. So those prices will come down because of, you know, mass volume. But when you are not at a place of mass volume, you have to consider the actual true cost of a thing. Mm-hmm. until it's in your customer's hand, or the full scope of the actual service you are providing and how much time that's entailing. Mm-hmm. And you can't price gouge, you can't, and the misnomer is that you're charging your worth. You could never pay me what I'm worth.
Right.
There's not a person that could ever pay me what I'm worth for the number of years that I've been an accountant, for the experience that I have, plus my education. Uh-huh. You couldn't pay me my worth, but there is a value that you can place on your time. So you have to figure out what, you know, what that looks like. Now, you can't just run out and say you want to grab a couple of accounts, uh-huh. and you'll do all these particular accounts for, you know, a dollar amount that you really haven't put time to. Mm-hmm. So time is a factor that you have to weigh. Right. And then obviously when you sell products and services, right. or products and goods, you have to think about the whole cycle of creating the product, mm-hmm. until the product is actually physically in someone's hand.
Yeah, I think that's the one of the hardest things for people to do is, how do I price my service? How do I price my, I think products is probably a little bit is easier than it is for services. I still struggle with my pricing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and costs for what I do. Because like you said, one of the things you have to literally do is you have to sit there and time it out. You have to time it out. And so I've been trying to keep with the timing, with something that I do, but an event, man, you can do this thing for a year. Literally, you can plan an event for a whole entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And so keeping up with the timing. And I think that's great. And how you said that we might have to do a session on just pricing.
Oh yeah.
Because a lot of people, I'm telling you, if you go to listen to almost any business thing, especially with new entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. that's the first thing, that's their biggest struggle is pricing. How do I mm-hmm. price something? That's a huge Google lookup. How do I price da 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 da? But it's so many different strategies out there. It's like, no, just give me something basic. What's the basic, you know, how to do this? So
if you don't have a cookie cutter business,
yeah,
and you actually provide customized services, and most people do, most people advertise, yeah. you know, they don't advertise DIY, they actually advertise working with, that one-to-one is going to be different. So time is a factor.
Yeah.
And hopefully you've captured the right, you know, price that, you know, isn't gouging. Mm-hmm. that reflects value that you can provide.
Right.
But ultimately, people are not considering that. And so what happens is, for me, on the back end, the effect of that is, you know, you have all these, you know, expenses that you now have to find another way to pay for because right. you underpriced yourself. You know, I have a couple clients that are actually artists and producers, if you will, of shows and things, you know, like comedy shows and stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so one of the main things that I can tell you for your type of business is that you have upfront cash outlay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And so mm-hmm. you definitely need to know your numbers. Mm-hmm. In terms of the fixed cost that you're locked into until you you know,
sell tickets. Yeah.
Right. That's a huge risk. So risk is something you need to consider in that. Liability is something you have to consider in your pricing. The immediate cash outlay is something that you have to consider in your pricing. And so knowing what those upfront costs are in terms of either manufacturing a product or good, or knowing the time element that's required to get a service to fully provide it to a consumer is something that everybody needs to sit down and think about.
Well, Atika, this has been amazing. Tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you all again for coming in and listening to us. I really appreciate the opportunity to sit here on this platform and to just talk about faith and business. This has been amazing to me. If you want to connect with me, you can find me on all social media platforms as The Bookkeeping Strategist. I can tell you I'm definitely on Facebook, definitely on Instagram. If you want to find me on LinkedIn, just my name, Atika Watkins. And if you'd like to communicate with me about just reviewing your financial infrastructure, seeing if you have everything intact, I'd love to talk to you about that. Connect with me at bit.ly/I need a bookkeeper. And that gets you on my calendar for a strategy session for us to talk candidly about the issues you're having in your business. And I'll provide you with a solution that works.
Okay. Well, I would like to thank you so much, Ms. Watkins, for you coming and giving us your expertise on women, faith, and business. And I would like to thank my audience for coming in on the podcast today, and we will see you again soon. And thank you very much. I am Sylvia White, your host.
Bye.